Well, we're still talking about walking in the ways of the Lord. I love the idea that we'll be learning His ways all through eternity. You know, and the fact that He wants us to know His ways. He wants us to. That's why He went to the cross. Just so that we could know Him in the fullness of who He is. Always go back to Adam. You know, Adam knew His ways. You know, they were one. They walked in that garden in the cool of the evening. I believe Adam knew everything about God at that time, and they were really one in spirit and one, and they were just one, you know, until the fall. And we fell so far. But thank God He wants us back into that relationship that He had before. That's what it's all about, you know. We're supposed to be walking in His ways in this earth. So He revealed His ways in His Word. Mm-hmm. He revealed them and then sent His Holy Spirit to live in us. Glory to God, just so that we could know Him in the fullness of who He is. Praise God. Well, our title of our series is Walking in the Ways of the Lord. This is part 47. Mm-hmm. And tonight and probably 3 weeks. So it depends on how far we get. There's a lot in this, but we're going to be talking about faith versus fear. We've talked about, this is the fourth one on faith and faithfulness, and we've talked about the difference between faith and faithfulness, what they are, and how they're both right as far as the fruit of the Spirit. It's faith. Faith and faithfulness are both correct because they're both part of who God is. Mm-hmm. They'd be part of His ways. So faith and faithfulness are both correct. Mm-hmm. Depending on the translation you get, some says faith, some says faithfulness. Last week, we talked about your faith. Mm-hmm. We talked about faith, the activator of the Word, activating the Word. We also talked talked about your faith. Mm-hmm. And then I just really enjoy those. And tonight we'll be talking about faith versus fear. And I'm going to call it part one because I know there's a part two, probably a part three. There's just a lot to say about these two subjects. Foundational statement. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are faithful to God in His living Word. They walk a life of faith anchored in God's living Word. The statement that we made as we closed last week, and I want to open with it, real faith is at rest, anchored and steadfast in the absolute truth of God's living Word. When we talk about resting, we're not talking about not doing anything. We're talking about a state of heart, a heart state, a state of confidence, a state where I'm at rest in the truth of God's Word. I'm anchored. No matter what comes my way, I'm at rest. I'm at peace. I'm at peace with myself. I'm at peace with God. I know God's Word is absolute truth. So my focus is on the Word. My focus is resting by faith in God's Word, or confidence in that Word. It doesn't mean I'm not doing anything. It means that I'm not anxious about anything. I'm not upset about it. I'm not walking in fear and worry and all these other things. I'm resting in the truth of God's Word because I know it's true. It brings me to a place of rest. And we talked last week about Israel and how they did not mix faith with the Word. So they did not enter into His rest. And God even said in Hebrews that He would not allow them. They would not enter His rest, God said, even though the works were finished before the foundation of the world. So even though He had everything done, even though they could have entered in and enjoyed the rest because of a lack of faith and unbelief, mm-hmm. God would not let them enter in. Mm-hmm. So and we need to remember that. There's a rest. We talked about there still is a rest for us today. But we have to do of the same thing. We have to learn to rest with faith in God's Word, to mix faith and the Word together. Another statement we made last week when we stopped, when we have unforgiveness, worry, fear, and strife working in our life, we are never at rest. If you've got those things and similar things working in your life, you're not at rest in your life. You're always upset. You're always worried. You just don't have no rest in your life. But there is a real faith rest. Real faith is at rest. So we don't allow unforgiveness, worry, fear, or strife to enter in. We have to do battle with those things. They're all around us. We have opportunities every day of our life to become concerned about things and to allow fear and worry to function. We have opportunities. They come our way. And sometimes it's unexpected. It can be come from an unexpected source, or it can come from a familiar source. But if we allow them to operate, our faith will not work. It hinders our faith. It either hinders it or it prevents it from working. So we need to remember that. For us to properly understand faith, it is necessary for us to understand what fear is and how it works. You don't only need to know your own weapons, but you need to know the enemy's weapons. What is he going to use? How am I going to recognize it? I need to be not walking in it, but be familiar with what it is and how it functions and how the enemy uses it to hinder it. That it's what he uses to prevent our faith from working. It's what he uses to draw us away from the Word. And if he can draw us away from the Word, he can win. We'll fail because we'll be carnally minded. In order for our faith to work, we have to be spiritually minded or have our minds set on the things of God. It needs to be our focus. So for us to properly understand faith, it is necessary for us to understand what fear is and how it works. Not only recognize that it's there and it exists, but how does it work? We need to know the same thing about faith, and we've been talking about that for the last couple of messages. Well, tonight we're going to be going through these. We're going to be comparing them and see how they're similar, how they work by basically the same laws, and how they affect us. We're going to be taking a step at a time looking at them. You cannot walk in faith and fear or love and fear at the same time. You cannot do that. You're going to be walking in faith or walking in fear. You're going to be walking in love or you're going to be walking in fear. You're going to be one or the other every moment of your life. So we have to make a choice of what I am going to walk in. What is Michael going to walk in? How am I going to walk my life out? If I don't make the effort to walk in faith and love, and make the right choices there, fear is an automatic. It's what you call in computer language as a default. It's going to default to fear. Worry and strife, those things will be there in our life if we don't do battle with them. But I got to know how to and what they are in order to recognize them. Sometimes, as I've mentioned before, we can walk in fear and not identify it as that. It can be fear and functioning, or a relative of fear, or something based in fear that we're doing or we're allowing to function, and we really don't recognize it as such.
Well, we say things automatically, like somebody asked us a question, we say, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid so.
What
I'm
are
afraid
we just,
this. I'm afraid that.
What are we saying?
I'm afraid.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
I mean, how did it get into that type of phraseology?
And at the time you said that, you may not have meant it in the context that you said it.
You're scared. Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's what's being built right there by what you said that's what's being built.
Mm-hmm. See what you're saying. It's subconscious.
You are subconsciously building fear into your life, and you don't realize you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So remember, you cannot walk in both at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's no middle ground. There's one or the other. Satan cannot do anything to us apart from fear any more than God can do something for us apart from faith. Mm-hmm. Satan requires fear in some context. Fear, worry, some kind of a context of fear. Something founded on fear. He requires that. God has to have faith. And there's only one person that can choose which is functioning. And that's me. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that makes those choices. Now, some people don't like to point to themselves. But you better. Because if you don't, you're going to automatically default into fear. It'll tear your life apart. You won't even know why. How did I get here? You didn't do anything about it. God wants you to walk in faith. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. You can't even get to Him without faith. And this, I don't know if I put it in my notes or not again, but I've been telling you that we all walk in faith, born again or not, because we're faith creatures. We're created in the image of God. Man as a species is created in the image of God. It's part of being human. We have faith in the Word or faith in our fear. Faith in the things that are going wrong. We have faith in them going wrong. We plan for it. We plan for failure. Or we will plan for success with our faith. Our faith and hope working together. But we are creatures of faith. Whether we think we're functioning in faith or not, we are. All the time. Let's look at 1 John 5 and verse 18b. I love this scripture because it gives you something to stand on. 1 John 5, 18b, though the second part of the verse. He who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. King James says, cannot touch him. He that keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not. This is New King James. He who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. What's it mean to keep you, keep yourself? It means to watch over your ways. It means to walk in his ways. It means to correct yourself. One of the major, top of the line, tip-top way you must keep yourself is the love walk. You have to guard your love walk above all that you guard. It's important that we do this, that we realize that love is the key for everything in our life. We must walk in love. We must walk in faith. That's how we keep ourselves. If we're not walking in those two, then we're not keeping ourselves. We'll slip right back over into fear. We keep ourselves in love, faith, and the Word. They govern our lives. Now, not only did it say when it says, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him, it means he can't. Satan cannot overcome love. He's got to get you to move out of it. If you're determined to walk in faith and love and the Word, he can't stop you. He's going to give you opportunities not to. But you have to choose it. You have to choose not to walk in love or to do the unloving thing. Then he's got you. He can touch you then. But if you don't drop your love, if you do not drop your faith and you stay in the Word, he can't touch you. But he's going to give you opportunities. So it's up to us. Love, the living Word, and faith are involved in everything that God does. Everything he does will always have those elements in it. Love, the living word and faith. If God's doing it, those elements are there. Now here's the other side of it. Fear, worry, deception, and strife are Satan's big guns, his big weapons. They are involved in everything that he does. So as you're walking through your life, know which one is working. When you look at what you're doing and the things that are going on, how you're responding, how am I responding? Am I responding in love no matter what's coming against me? Am I walking in faith right through this circumstance, faith in the Word? Am I doing that? Or am I worried about it? Am I being deceived into worry and fear? Is there strife functioning? If I am, then Satan's there. It opens the door. If I don't want him to be functioning, then I got to close those doors. It means when I do catch myself there, I repent and I get right back in the Word. I ask the Holy Spirit, what's the loving thing here? How can I walk in love in the middle of this problem or issue? What am I supposed to be doing? Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. He will. He's probably already trying to. So remember that. Everything that God does has love, the living word, and faith involved in it. Fear, worry, deception, and strife are always involved in what Satan's doing. One is spiritually minded. One is not. All fear is self-centered. It always focuses on self. Love is others-centered. It always focuses on others. Right in the middle of this big argument you're going on, love will rise up and you'll start making excuses for that person. You'll start trying to do something good for that person instead of getting back at him, instead of yelling back at him. And if you already are, you'll stop. And you'll start trying to make peace. You'll take the blame so that they don't have to. We need to think about these things because you think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. We have to do this. This is something we have to do. Are we going to just make the decision right now to do it and never fail? No, we're going to fail. We've got a lifetime of habitual behavior when things happen. So what we have to do is to change our habits. We have to be habitually loving, habitual faith creatures, habitually in the Word as our habit, and let the habitually filter things that we're doing through the Word, engaging what we're doing by whether it's love or not. Is it self-centered? Fear always focuses on self-centered. All your arguments are self-centered. All of them. That's why you got in an argument. You're thinking of yourself. If you're thinking about them, you wouldn't have been in an argument. Mm-hmm. So we got to be real with ourselves. And God will help us with this.
Yeah, well, if you're in an argument with somebody, because like one time this one lady I was taking care of, she accused me of stealing some of her stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't steal her dumb old stuff. I mean, like a measuring cup. Or she had a piece of rope or something that she couldn't find. She said I took it. And she was always accusing me that I didn't put the groceries away right. Mm-hmm. Something fell out of the can, fell out and hit her on her sore foot, you know, and I mean, all kind of goofy stuff. And I was getting kind of fed up with it. I apologized to her a million times, told her I was sorry, but I was griping to the Lord about it one day when I was driving into work, and I said, I just don't want to take the blame for something I didn't do. And he said, well, now you know how I feel.
Did he take something? Did he take blame for something he didn't do?
Well, he died for something he didn't do.
That's what the cross is about. He took the blame, our blame. for everyone, past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. Now you know how I feel. And that little feeling she had there, getting upset, did it really matter? I mean, in the context of things, what did it matter? If, I mean, if we respond back, we got to think of these things. Does it matter? Can I afford to be self-centered here and walk in strife and fear? If I really recognize the cost, I would never do it. Because the cost of walking in fear, worries, and strife and deception is so astronomically high. Because it don't affect only that moment. It affects your faith, your love. It affects your prayer life. It affects your friends. It affects your future. It's just too expensive. Whenever our focus is on ourselves rather than others, we have the foundation necessary to produce iniquity and sin. That foundation of iniquity and sin opens the door for fear to function and rule. That's an important statement right there. Whenever our focus is on ourselves rather than others, we have the foundation necessary to produce iniquity and sin. That foundation of iniquity and sin opens the door for fear to function and rule. And once that door is open, fear will rule. It will rule. And this is a simple statement, but it's profound, and it ought to make sense to us. Faith moves God because faith is in God. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. It's like what activates one or the other. If you're walking in love and faith and the Word, that activates God. It causes Him to start moving. It draws Him. But if you're working in fear, worry, strife, and those other things, it starts Satan moving. It draws him. Which do I want at work in our lives? We're going to have to make a decision here on these things as we're going through our problems. Do I even know that I have to make a decision? How many of us just respond? Somebody comes at me, I'm coming at them. You're in trouble. Even if you win the argument, you lost. Because you never really win an argument. Even if they agree with you, you still lost. Fear does not come from God. Period. Exclamation point. There is no fear in God, for God is love. Fear comes from Satan, for Satan is fear. You think about that statement. He is the most afraid creature that exists. Because he is fear. That's why he does what he does. He's fear. And if you're functioning in it, you're on his ground. He's the author of it. But God is love. He can't do anything other than that. Because he's the being. Fear came from Satan. It started with him. He's the father of it. It didn't exist before he fell. Way before the earth ever existed, there was no fear. And there's going to be a time coming when there's not going to be any fear again. And he's locked in that pit, not for 1,000 years, but permanently. There will be no fear. Think about that. Let's look at 1 John 4:16. We're just going to look. And it's just a couple little words here. 1 John 4:16, God is love. He is love. He is love. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Or they're one. They're one. Now, two verses down, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, it doesn't mean you're absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. It means you're in the process. You're functioning in it. You're walking in it. No one's perfect but God. There is no fear in love. God is love. We are love creatures. The verse before that says, as he is, so are we in this world. We're love creatures. There's not supposed to be any fear working in our lives. If we are, we're in the wrong camp. We need to do battle with it. It's something that we need to resist big time. We do not want to function there.
Sister Kathy and I, we've been doing a Bible study about the armor of God, and we've been reading about the sandals of peace.
So that's it.
It just goes in perfectly.
Isn't it neat how the armor kind of lines up with the fruit?
Mm-hmm. We say that all the time.
Yeah, I just love it, you know.
The word's consistent.
Sure.
The word is consistent.
It's consistent. It's consistent. Yeah, Isaiah 54:14. I put that one down. Well, Isaiah 54:14-15. In righteousness you shall be established. So what establishes us?
Righteousness.
A right walk with God. That's what righteousness is. A right walk with him, or walking in his ways. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall as surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. If we function in this righteousness or the love walk in faith with God, it establishes us. Something that's established is firm. It's solid. It's anchored. Hallelujah. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Notice how when you fear, oppression comes. Oppression and fear run together. Depression is fear related. You're meditating and dwelling on the wrong thing. You're focused on it. What's functioning? Your faith is functioning in the things that's depressing you. You're focused on it. You're applying your faith to it. You don't realize you're doing it, but that's exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You believe it, so you become depressed. Mm-hmm. You fear something because you believe it will harm you. Mm-hmm. Faith working. Mm-hmm. You've got to do the opposite of that. But you can't just do it. You've got to have something to anchor it in. You anchor it in right here in God's Word. Love and fear cannot exist together. They are direct opposites. They're direct opposites. They cannot exist together. That's why we read in 1 John 4:16 and 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. They can't exist together. If you're walking in love, fear cannot come in. It does battle with it. You know, darkness and light can exist together. Light always casts out darkness. Love always casts out fear. So if you're running around functioning in fear and worry and strife, be careful. You don't have to. You can change that. But there's only one real thing that can change it. And that's this word. Being anchored in it. Rock solid, I believe it is absolute truth. You go to the Word when fear starts coming up. You praise God when fear starts coming up or worry. You turn your focus from the problem or the circumstance to what the Word says. You have to do the believing. God can't do that for you. He can help you with it. He can strengthen you. He can encourage you. He can bring laborers across your pathway. The Holy Spirit can speak to you. And you, even in your mind, you can know you're wrong walking in fear and worry and strife. Mm-hmm. But you have to make the decision not to. Mm-hmm. You're the umpire. Mm-hmm. As we said earlier, God cannot do anything for you apart from faith. Satan cannot do anything to you apart from fear. They both have to have faith or fear working. I decide which one I want to work. I decide that. And you know how much power that is? It means Satan cannot work if I will choose love and faith. He'll try, and what he'll try to do is move me away from it. He'll try to deceive me into believing the fear or the worry. He'll try to deceive me into getting involved in the strife. He has to do that. I have to choose it for him to function. Mm-hmm. See, if I know that I'm the one that's choosing, mm-hmm. that means I can choose the right way. I can choose. God will not make me choose, and Satan cannot make me choose. There's a big difference in the two. Will not make me choose means he could. Cannot means he cannot. So Satan cannot make me choose. God has the power to make me choose, but he refuses to because he's love. And love will not make you choose. 2 Timothy 1:7. This might not be a jumping up and down and turning somersaults message, but it should be, because we're getting some real meat here on this, something that will change our lives and can totally defeat some of the circumstances that we're walking through now or that may come our way in the future. It's given us something to strengthen us. You're putting on that armor, as you were talking about, Jean. You're putting on that armor. This is fuel for our spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. We said earlier it did not come from God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. That's what he gave us. Mm-hmm. When the Holy Spirit came in, power and love and a sound mind came in. Mm-hmm. Not fear and worry. It functioned before, mm-hmm. but it's mental. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a sound mind. Here's what the Amplified says. Same verse. He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. That's what he gave us. A calm and well-balanced mind. I don't have to have mental problems and issues all the time. Walking around, you know what brings on mental problems? Fear and worry. They're at the root of all mental issues. He has given us a spirit, or the Holy Spirit, of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. If I'm struggling with depression, fear, worry, strife, I'm struggling with mental problems that I can't seem to... I've just got mental issues. There's one of your scriptures that you stand on. Who gave me the well-balanced mind? God did. The Word changes us if we'll believe it. If we'll believe it. God is love, light, and faith. Satan is hate, darkness, and fear. See the context between the two. God is love, light, and faith. Satan is hate, darkness, and fear. What is faith? What is fear? That's what we're going to be looking at. Faith is a spiritual force. Fear is a spiritual force. They are directly opposite each other. Both are governed by spiritual laws. They both are governed by spiritual law. They function under spiritual law. God put that law out there. Now, he didn't create fear. But when Satan created it, it became a law. Faith is governed and works by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Fear is governed and works by the law of sin and death. That's the root of the two. Faith is governed and works by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Fear is governed and works by the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If I don't activate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the default law is the law of sin and death. Again, one or the other is working all the time. Being born again, I can still walk under the law of sin and death by my choices, even though I don't have to. A person that is not born again doesn't have a choice there. He has to walk under the law of sin and death until he's born again. Once he gets born again, he moves from darkness to light. He has a right to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He has a right there. But he doesn't have to. He can get born again, have his way to heaven, and walk the rest of his life right where he was, and be completely miserable. And the law of sin and death will work in your life because you're not doing anything with what you are entitled to. You're not partaking of your inheritance. You're not being spiritually minded. You're being carnally minded. You're allowing the things of the flesh to function because you're not doing anything. You're not resisting it in any way. You're allowing the law of sin and death to function. It has a right to function if you allow it to. But you don't have to allow it. That's what he says here. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, number one, and number two, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, this person that's born again here, God's not condemning him. He condemns himself if he doesn't walk in the Spirit. The person chooses that. If you walk in the flesh or by the law of darkness, the law of sin and death, condemnation's already there. But you don't have to be there. And you can repent anytime you want to, 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins and you can move back right where you belong. You don't have to stay there if you're born again. Now, write down the chapter there in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see the context between the two. One is darkness, one is light. One is death, one is life. One is peace, one is fear and worry. The person chooses that. This person that's walking in darkness, whether he's born again or not, he set his mind on the things of the flesh. Mm-hmm. He wants to do those things. He set his mind on them, mm-hmm. born again or not, so they're going to affect him. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have to. He can set his mind on the things of the Spirit. There's only one way to do that. Mm-hmm. You've got to get in the Word. Got to walk by faith and love. And whenever you don't, when you slip up, repent, fix it. Get up out of the mud puddle. Faith is God's creative power. Everything is created by faith. Hebrews 11:3. There's also some verses in Colossians. And in Ephesians, talking about the same thing, but we're going to focus on this one because it says it exactly the way it's supposed to be said. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Faith was working from the very moment any creation was created, in heaven or in time. Things in heaven were created too. There was a point, not time, but there was a point when there wasn't anything but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There wasn't anything else. All of the angels were created. Satan was created, all that's in eternity, mm-hmm. the temple, all of that was created mm-hmm. before time. Mm-hmm. Then God cut a slice of eternity out, mm-hmm. encapsulated time in there mm-hmm. for a prison for Satan. Mm-hmm. And there's another one coming mm-hmm. for him. Mm-hmm. Then he gave man authority to take back what Satan had stolen. Put him in the garden. Created man. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Calm yourself.
Fear is Satan's destructive power. Mm-hmm. So we see here that faith is God's creative power. Fear is Satan's destructive power. Notice they both have power. They both do something. One creates, one destroys. Fear always destroys. It'll destroy the person walking in it. It'll destroy them. Don't let it work because you don't have to. Faith and fear make it all work. Faith and fear are involved in everything. No matter what it is, one or the other is functioning. Faith does not compromise. Fear demands compromise. When you walk in faith, you will not compromise. Fear won't function because you're walking in love. It casts out fear. But when you compromise your faith, you begin walking in fear and worry and strife and all the other stuff. You compromise. For fear to function, it demands compromise. You have to compromise for fear to work. Mm-hmm. If Satan can deceive a believer into compromise, the believer's faith will become doubt, unbelief, worry, and fear. Even though he's a believer, even though he doesn't have to, if that believer compromises, Satan wants you to compromise. He wants you to move away from the Word. He has to have you do that. If you refuse to do it, Or if you start and you jump right back, he hasn't got a chance. He'll try to deceive you in the thinking that he does, but he doesn't. If you stand in that armor that they're studying, God's whole armor in Ephesians 6, you stand on the word. You stand on it. Satan has to flee. He doesn't have a choice. He cannot stand where faith and love's functioning. He's got to get you to move away from it. That's the only thing he has there is deception. He has no chance where the believer is except by deception.
If you look at a scripture in Revelations chapter 21, it's in verse 8, it says in verse 7, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, the second death." It's funny to me it's curious to me that the first thing he mentions is the fearful.
Mm-hmm.
The fearful ain't going to make it.
Because all that other stuff flow from fear.
Yeah.
And they're all fear-based. See, and Satan is fear. That's where it comes from. That's why, because he's cast into the lake of fire, those that function on his terms have to go with him. That's not God's
no,
plan.
No, Satan's their God if they're that fearful.
Yeah, that's why this
that
thing
means
is.
They'll never trust God.
This thing is important. It's important that we know these things, and that we can, if we got the information, and the Holy Spirit then can start bringing it up, and we can start recognizing areas where we can change things, where we can be different. I can guarantee you, if you put these truths to work we've been talking about on walking in the steps of walking in the ways of the Lord, if you put them to work, in less than a year, you'll be a totally different person. You'll never be the same again, literally. And that's what God wants us to do. Now, there's a lot of people around you that won't like it, because you'll not be doing what they do. You'll be talking differently. You'll be thinking differently. And you'll be serious about what you're doing, because you want to walk with your Father. And there will be some that after a while will want to go with you.
Well, to see you're the one that's happy all the time.
They'll want to go your way because there's something different about you.
You know, a gal got really mad at me one time because of that. And she said, "That's just your Christian act." And I'm like, you know what? I have to act that way.
Yeah.
Whether I feel like it or not, it's an act. It is an act,
yeah.
But it's an act that
it's
I'm
my action.
Do.
I'm acting on it. I'm action.
You know, if I don't act that way, what am I? I'm just like her.
Yeah.
Don't want to do that.
He works very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Very slowly. A seed planted, and everything works by a seed sown. And we'll start responding to that a little at a time. Little at a time. And we don't realize we're doing it. Mm-hmm. What I mentioned earlier, we can be functioning in it, mm-hmm, and not realizing we are. That's why we have to know how these things work. Anywhere, anytime, we can change it. But you can't change it if you don't know you need to.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what you're doing in your life, and you Satan's big thing that he says, there's no way out of this. It's just the way you are. No, it's not the way I am.
Amen.
The way I was, but I'm not that way now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got victory living in me. I've got the one that loves me living in me. I've got the Holy Spirit, who is my peace,
mm-hmm,
living in me. And I am choosing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. That's most. All of us have had opportunities. I've had mine. I had mine, and then I can tell you a long story too. Mine started as a kid, and I don't want to go there because it takes too long for one thing. Mm-hmm. But I've had my bouts with it. There was reasons for it. Mm-hmm. And abuse and everything else, swallowing rat poison, all that, a lot of stuff. But I lived for many years that way, mm-hmm. completely afraid. I couldn't stand anybody around me. Literally, I couldn't stand anybody around me. I was okay at home. Go to school, mm-hmm. I'd get sick as a dog. I don't know whether I leave it on there or not. But we changed schools one time. Mm-hmm. Because we just moved up the block.
They moved
but it
around a lot.
It put us in a different school district.
Sure.
So we moved from one city completely to another city to go to school just by moving up a couple houses down. Mm-hmm. And I was fine going to the other school. This had just started working on me. Mm-hmm. When I got there, they had me stand up in front of everybody and introduce myself and tell them about myself. I was in the third grade, mm-hmm. and I wet all over myself in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stand anybody around me. And a doctor even sent me to Farmington one time. You know what's over at Farmington?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mental health hospital. Mm-hmm. The doctor, our famous doctor in Perryville, I kept going to the doctor. Mom kept taking me to the doctor. What's wrong with him? He's so sick off and on. And she wanted to know. He kept, one time he was very pointed, doctor. Oh, that guy's nuts. What he told Mom. I hurt, okay? So, it took a while. Doctor took me out of school. But he wouldn't allow me to go back to school. I was fine at home. And you know, by God's grace, I walked out of that thing. Even before I knew the Lord, but I knew the Lord was working on it when I looked back at it. But even when I got to where I can control it, the way I did it was I wouldn't allow anybody in my circle. Mm-hmm. If I'm talking to you, it's just canned talk. You don't know anything about me. I'm not letting you in my life. And I was able to walk my way out of that. Then I got born again. After finding this lovely lady, I let her in.
It wasn't my fault.
I let her in. But honestly, even after we got married, that was still there. Mm-hmm. So I can understand how people go through this. Now, the reason I can teach this way is because I know it. Mm-hmm. And I've walked this. Mm-hmm. And what Nate's talking about is very real. And we can put all kinds of bandages on it and everything else, but somewhere along the line, I got to get real. Mm-hmm. I got to make a choice. And realize Satan cannot hold me there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. And you know a lot of the stories, some she don't even know, and I probably never will share.
No. But I was a fearful child. I mean, I had a good home and everything was fine, but I was just a real scaredy cat. Just thinking about going to school in the morning made my stomach hurt. And I just was scared. I was just a scared person, you know, even as an adult, even after we were married and everything. Once I got into the prayer meeting and stuff, I had to go out at night. I was scared of the dark as an adult. Mm-hmm. And I would put on some kind of preaching or something in the car, radio, so
I could focus.
So I could, you know, not be so scared. And one night I was just driving home, and all of a sudden it just came up in my heart. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear?
Whom shall I fear? What can man do to me? That's what the rest of the verse
and,
is.
And, you know, it was a revelation that changed my life.
Yes, yes. There's a time, if you focus on the Word will drop into your spirit. Mm-hmm. It'll put you in a place where
you'll
those...
You'll get a scripture.
Yes.
It'll help you.
yes, those times happened. Yes, they were real to me.
Yeah.
But I don't have to live there.
You don't have to stay there, right?
I think about that every now and then I got born again in 81. And then since about 83, I started ministering. And preaching in Sunday mornings, a lot of times I'd think about that. How did I get here? Because I couldn't stand anybody around me. Moving from where I was to that and to this is an outright miracle. And I know I didn't do it. God did it.
Amen.
The Word did it.
The Word did it.
The Word did it. Mm-hmm. We'll stop there for right now. We're kind of beyond our time, but I wanted to go on. But I knew it would take at least that long. But I hope this is of value to you, because it's something that we all face, no matter who we are, and it's something we need to have the knowledge of how it functions. And the number one is, I don't have to walk in fear. I don't have to walk in worry. I don't have to. It's time I settle some things with the Word of God and nail my feet to the floor and say, I'm not going no further. I'm staying with God.
Put on those sandals of peace.
Yes, put on the firm-footed gospel of peace. And we've studied, we went through a lot of things with this study on walking the ways of the Lord, which will help handle those things. Where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Uh-huh. And when we find out about it, it doesn't mean it's easy to transition. I got an answer now. I got something I can hang on to. I've got something that I can say, the Prince of Peace lives in me.
Well, that's what you have to do. You have to speak these things.
Speak it out.
Even after I was, you know, in the charismatic renewal and everything, I would still get these panic attacks. You know, when you get one of those, you feel like you're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, at least I did. And call my doctor in the middle of the night, you know, and wake him up. Is everything going to be all right, you know? And they just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, you're just riding your bike, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God.
Yep. And we've all, to some degree, been there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be.
But it takes work.
It takes work. It takes...
It's not just going to happen or
you have
instantly...
I have to have an anchor.
Change.
If you don't believe the Word, you're not going to have an anchor. You have to get to the place where this is absolute truth. Mm-hmm. God loves me, and He did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Old Eldon Gorley, that was one of his favorite scriptures. We'd be having Bible study, and time after time, he'd bring that up. Another one was, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Yeah, he always had his songs.
Yeah, but he'd always do that. Because he's been through it.
Yeah.
And I've been through it. And we're not alone. None of us are alone. But we don't have to be full of fear and worry. Praise God.
2 Timothy 1:7 was one of my... Clean two verses.
Absolutely.
Yes,
you get a life verse like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Then if He didn't give me a spirit of fear, I'm not accepting it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to. I'm born again. My Father loves me. And I'm at peace in Him.
And then we were talking about how through what we experience, we can help others.
Absolutely.
And that's in 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4.
Comfort.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation.
Yes, I love that.
That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
I done a message on that a Sunday morning many years ago. I love that verse. He is the one that comforts. But I got to let Him. And He wants to. Well, Father, we thank You for this time in the Word. I just thank You so much for teaching us these things. so that we can know you and the fullness of who you are and who we are. Thank you for loving us, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
We cast the spirit of fear out of our life, and we receive the peace that passes all understanding. We will not fret or worry. We make a choice, a quality choice, to walk right with you, sir. We thank you for teaching this. Satan is fear. You are love and peace and faith. We receive that.
Yes,
we make a choice in our life to have our lives anchored in the Word. And thank you so much for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.